Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. It's March 9th, 2017, and this is Scorpios Talking. My name is Ann Ortley. I'm an astrologer here in New York at my bright red desk. I'm not a Scorpio. I'm a Scorpio wannabe. I'm actually a Virgo, but my progress sun has moved into Scorpio. On the other hand, my friend Michael, he's a real Scorpio.
Michael, are you there? I am here. I'm Michael Kohlberg. I'm a psychotherapist in New York City and in Hudson, New York, and I am in New York City today.
Yeah. And what we do here on Scorpios Talking is we talk. We got a nice email from someone saying they loved it when we talked. I sent it to you, but you said you didn't get it or something. So
No.
I have a new email. It's not forwarding things, though.
Uh-huh. So I said I got it, but I didn't understand it.
If
you could understand, if you could help me understand. I also got a separate email.
You did actually get the text.
I did get it, I had also gotten a separate email directly from that person asking a similar question, but which I truly read several times. I didn't understand what was being asked.
Okay, cool.
So if you did, I'll be happy to try and answer it. But
well, I think it's more that, I think the ongoing thing has been, people responding to us and saying, that was helpful because I learned da 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 da. So I think they like this is the energy. This is how you work with it, or this is what you're standing in the middle. The river poem. Of the people, the time is now, and also just the whole structural stuff. What we're working with eclipses right now, with the node at the very last degree of Pisces, and it's going to shift in the next couple weeks, but what it's doing is it's bringing up all sorts of secrets. It's saying all sorts of things. Mercury, last degree in Pisces, is communicating from a deep phonic level or a deep soul level. And so the stuff that's coming up, you want to really pay attention to. I've had a lot of clients have found out my partner's a heroin addict, found out my partner's been cheating on me, found out my partner, or found out deep family secrets, found out da 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 da, found out, my daughter's been being beaten, about their family members. So, it's kind of it's revealing things that we, in a tribal level, or about our tribe, and about our community, and so there's this deep energy. So I think it's a releasing energy. Of course, it's going to go for another week till Sunday, and then we have a new moon in Virgo. But this is a letting go week because of it's kind of a letting go of old dreams too. Saying, well, that was a dream, but maybe now it's not going to happen, or maybe now I need to change the dream because it's the sign of dreams. So that's kind of what the sky is doing. Plus Venus is in fire, and she's going backwards, and she's making kind of the rest of the sky on fire because a lot of planets are reporting into her right now or going through her on their way to somewhere else. So they have a flare-up. So we're going to watch for flare-ups. But it is a good time to be illuminated. And, of course, last degree in Pisces is the healthcare system, so that we're seeing some pretty big changes being proposed there on a macro level. On a micro level, it's your house of your soul. So it's a place where people are really feeling a little bit soul-weary right now. At least that's, what I've been running into. So how about your world? What's been going on?
Soul weary,
or just weary.
Yeah, weary.
Not even soul weary. So weary. I am so weary.
And also, people have a hard time sitting in this energy.
Yeah.
I don't blame them. I mean, me too. But it's not like understanding it better is going to change it.
Yeah.
It is what it is.
Right.
I mean, there are many, many versions of the secret part is I don't like it like this, so let me see what I can do to change it. It's like, good luck. Please send a postcard if you're successful.
Right.
It is what it is. I keep seeing that there's an awful lot of stuff that's just simply not sustainable.
Yeah.
And there's a whole bunch of other stuff that's sent out there as a kind of, well, this is shiny, so maybe this will distract everybody for 5 minutes. Mm-hmm. When in fact, the thing that they're trying to distract people from is not going away.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to still be there.
Right.
But people will be tired because they got distracted by the shiny thing.
Yeah, by the bright and shiny thing.
Right.
Yep.
Which has no meaning.
No. Well, it's sparkly, you know. My friend always calls it the magpie disease. You know, we walk into this place and it's sparkly, and she runs over to the sparkly and she goes, "I have magpie disease." And magpies, of course, are not particularly nice birds. But, you know, it's like they like to grab the sparkly, and they think that's, of course, it doesn't do anything. It doesn't feed you. Doesn't make your nest. It's just sparkly. But it attracts attention. So when we see sparkly stuff, we go, "Yeah, let's do that." So I do think that there's a whole energy around bright and sparkly, and what do you want it to be, versus what it actually is. So, and that's okay. You know, it's understanding everybody's got to kind of figure out their thing. And that's the energy of the week. So, and a lot of anger, at least I've been running into it as anger, with people being mad, as opposed to, you know, feeling sorry for themselves. It's a little more feisty, you know. They kind of get up and they do something. They say, "Okay, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to do something else," then, as opposed to staying in the situation. Very action-oriented, even if they don't know what action to take.
Right, it's action-oriented, but there's no action to take.
There's no action to take, right.
And that's the dilemma.
Yeah.
Is there's a strong desire to act.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not a smart time to do much.
Right.
I mean, I think that money is going to, something's going to happen.
Oh, with the financial system?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. What do you think is going to happen?
I don't know how it's going to manifest.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that the stock market's too high.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't represent reality.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems from the cursory reading I'm doing that an awful lot of money is getting siphoned, or are attempts being made to siphon it away from programs that help people.
Mm-hmm.
Towards things that are, I consider to be less important than helping people.
Mm-hmm. Like bombs and things like that on the government level, or on a...
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like, well, there's that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Or... taking medical, you know, we have the worst, I think, in the Western world, the worst health coverage.
Yeah, mm-hmm. We do.
And we're trying to make it worse.
They're going to make it worse. They're making it worse.
Which is
hard
is.
To believe.
It
but they're going to do it.
Impossibly hard to believe.
It's impossibly hard to believe. It's like we have such good research and such good resources, and then we're killing it. I remember having conversations. My dad was a physician. He was a neurologist when I was a kid growing up. And I remember having conversations with him about Blue Cross Blue Shield. Because at that point, they'd invented this very cool machine called a CAT scan. And it allowed you to look inside people's bodies. And we're in Rochester, and he had to send his patients to either Syracuse or Buffalo, because those are where the CAT scans were. And it was a two-month wait to get in to see the machine. And I'm like, "Well, why don't you get a CAT scan in Rochester?" And he said, "Because the insurance company won't pay for it." And I said, "But, you know, I mean, you need one. You're making people drive 2 hours and wait 2 months?" He goes, "Yeah, but the insurance company is not going to pay for it." And I'm like, "Well, you're a doctor. Why do you care? I mean, this is a high school kid, you know. Why do you care about an insurance company?" He goes, "You don't understand how it works. They say it's not needed, so they won't pay the cost. So no hospital's going to put it in. And, you know, it's not going to get covered. So people aren't going to... You know, they want people to go to Buffalo and Syracuse." And I'm like, but that's like really stupid. He goes, it is really stupid, but that's the way it is. I said, well, somebody should do something. And he kind of looked at me and he goes, like, who? And I'm like, I don't know. But it was like, I remember being like looking at him like, why are you fighting this? But he just was like, that's the way it is. There isn't, you know, if the hospital puts it in, they won't pay for it. They have to go to Buffalo. I said, well, they're going to pay for the test in Buffalo. He says, no, it's a, you know. And it was kind of stunning to me, you know, and it's back to your story last week when you were telling the story of the kid's leg getting run over and
right.
after the cast. You know, you have to wait 100 days.
Right. 180.
180 days. The disposition of care based on what we think you need versus what you actually need. And that you as a consumer and the physician as the provider can't make that negotiation without a third party meddling, stepping in, questioning, and it just more and more power, and it's profit on illness. It's there's something wrong with that, you know. And they took off the caps on their salaries, as I guess as part of the bill. I don't think it's passed yet, but you need to make $500 million, and you're denying my friend an MRI. You know, for making him wait 180 days for it, you know, it just astonishing to me, just astonishing and horrible. So I hope they all rot, and I hope they all get, I think they should all have to have our insurance. They don't get to keep theirs. They have really good plans. We should all get their plan, and they should all get ours, and then let's see how fast it would be till they changed it.
Right.
Yeah, but that's me ranting about healthcare.
No, I agree.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think that there's been a tremendous amount. I've had so many dealings with the healthcare system, and I'm pretty savvy.
Mm-hmm.
But the question that does seem to stop people is, so you're putting yourself in a position where you feel as though never having met the patient
mm-hmm.
and clearly not having done well enough in school to actually work, so you're working for an insurance company, you get to make a decision that is at odds with what the doctor who actually knows the patient...
And gone to school to study this stuff.
Yes. So either come here and see the patient
mm-hmm.
or shut the fuck up.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. I think we should start a grass movement saying, we want yours. We want your insurance, you know.
But it's everywhere, and
yeah.
you know, it's like the I don't understand how long this can go on, where people who voted for all of this don't understand that they're particularly going to be the most affected
mm-hmm.
By a lot of the cutbacks.
Yeah.
And then what? And it's, I would pay attention to what's going on in the South China Sea.
Mm-hmm.
You
mean with Korea or with China?
Both.
Both, okay.
Both.
Well, China's happy. We're not.
No, China's not happy. The United States and Korea, South Korea, installed or made active some huge missile defense thing that did not make China happy.
Oh, okay.
And in response to
Korea.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's just, there are things that we have to pay attention to.
I did not hear that at all, and I'm pretty informed.
No, just look it up.
Yeah.
It was North Korea launched 4 missiles.
That I've known about,
right.
but
so
I didn't know.
So one came very close,
see.
And then there was this
yeah.
missile shield thing.
Uh-huh.
And China was not happy about it.
Okay. Well.
And said, just watch it.
Hmm.
So,
There's a lot of them. So, the Yellow Sea to the east.
It's just all so unnecessary.
Yeah. And we have the Wild Boy King at the top. So he didn't make the decision to activate it, right?
Who?
Trump?
Somebody in his government did.
Wow, okay.
I believe. I don't think it was.
It wasn't an executive order.
I don't know. Mm-hmm. I didn't follow it that closely. Yeah. I just was watching that heat up.
Okay.
And the money thing heating up.
Yeah, the money thing I've read a bunch of places. Everybody's saying get a stash of cash because if they freeze the system.
Yep.
So get a stash in your house. It's in the bank. Get it out of the bank. Not a lot, but enough to make you live for
a couple weeks, two, three weeks,
and have it in your house. Lest the financial system freezes or they push the giant stop button. And time frame for that would be this month, next month. So some big adjustment coming at the end of the next couple weeks. So I have my little cash stash. Not a lot, but it'll get me through. And I have a lot of canned vegetables. Or not canned vegetables. Canned pork and beans. I love pork and beans. And I have canned soup. And I have some tomatoes. And I have some pineapple. I love canned pineapple. So, and then whatever else. But, yeah, think about, like, if you couldn't go to the ATM or you couldn't charge. And the stores couldn't process. Because it's a giant electronic system, right? We already know that they have hacking devices. If it gets taken out, how would you get your money? You couldn't prove you had it, not in your bank account. And they did do this before with Cyprus. They shut down Cyprus and took, I think, 10% out of everybody's bank account to pay for it. So you go get some money and put it in your house and hide it in a book or something, and just have a little stash there. And certain times requires things that make you sleep well at night. And I have to say my little stash makes me sleep well at night. So, yeah, it's all good. All part of it. And, you know, somebody asked me, who listens to the show, which Barbara Marx Hubbard's books you like?
Oh, I don't know how to answer that.
Okay.
Honestly.
Is there like a beginner primer book or something?
I don't know. I honestly don't know. There's a CD you can get called Humanity Ascending.
Oh, okay.
Which is good.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know that there's a a particular book. She just kind of writes these things. I think it's called The Mother of Invention, but what's his name? Neil Donald Walsh.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
He wrote a biography of her.
Oh. Okay.
But it starts at now and it goes back to the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
But Humanity Ascending is a good CD. It's 40 minutes. I think Amazon has that.
That's a good starter.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because they asked me, and I said, I don't know. You just talk about her. I've never.
Or look. Yeah. So for those people, it's like, go on YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
Watch her speak.
Oh, okay. Good idea. Okay. I'll tell them. Well, they listen. They email me. They're from Australia. They say, good show. By the way, which book does Michael represent?
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah.
But
shout out to
our
Australia listeners.
I would more go listen to her. You know,
okay.
And she has tons of things online.
Online, okay, cool. Sounds like a plan. Yeah. Yeah, so we have a full moon this week, and then next week we have the build-up to the last Uranus-Eris conjunction. Now, we've had two of them already. We had one last June, and then we had one in September. And now we have the third. And it does seem to be tracking to the, part of it's to the election. we had Saturday. The June one was when both of them got the candidacy. And, of course, it's the angry feminine energy in the sky. Eris got discovered and named by Mike Brown at the Jet Propulsion Lab. And he decided we needed more women, but he started picking angry goddess names. So it's a feisty little name, and it's feisty energy. And I have to say, every Aaron and Eris, and, you know, they tend to be feisty folk. It's like a feisty energy. So she was the goddess who was left out. She's Mars's sister, and she's a little feisty thing. So she got activated. It's kind of correlated in our culture to the rise in cyberbullying. and all that kind of crazy, the kind of crazy out of control shit that people say to you when you're controversial on the internet, trolling they call it. But it also is, she's meeting up with the first outer planet, so we're really starting to understand who she is. And so it'll be interesting to watch her explain herself. And the first planet she meets up with is, of course, Uranus, the planet of explosions and change. So when the nominations were done, it was the first time we had the angry populist and we had the woman breaking the glass ceiling. Then in September, we had Hillary falling and hurting herself at or falling ill at 9/11. And nothing happened with Donald. And I'm like, well, what happened? Whatever. But I was like, all right, maybe she's just working for women. Well, it ended up being that was when the first word of the Russia thing started hitting us. You know, we didn't hear about it, but the Congress and the president and all those folks did. Then the third pass is now, which, of course, we've been seeing the Russia thing heat up a bit. And so we'll see what happens as Uranus and Eris meet up next week on the 15th, 16th. Should be pretty exciting and should be pretty big. And, you know, we kind of, you know, it's been tracking to other people's things. It tracked to the gay massacre. It tracked to Britain leaving the EU, you know, saying we're not going to play with you anymore. So
but
it's got a kind of door, door leaving thing. Pardon?
It didn't leave the EU.
Well, Britain voting to leave the EU.
That's different.
Yeah. So they voted in March or June last year. At the same week, it was the kid getting taken off by the alligator too, and the gay massacre in Orlando, and Hillary breaking the glass ceiling, and the Britain vote. And then they put in new people in September. So the planned deadlines was March, was when they were leaving. So we'll see what happens because it's happening next week. So it kind of correlates to, you know, when you watch what happens under the aspect, part one, part two, part three continue. So we'll have part three next week. But the buildup is this week, next week. So you're going to really feel it because she's making her point as she leaves, as Uranus leaves her, because she goes, she takes 500 years to go around the 500 years, I think. I don't remember what her orbit is. But she's going to stay behind in Aries, and he's going to roll off. Jupiter's going to visit her a couple more times this year, and Pluto gets to her in 2020. So she's a big girl. She's a little feisty thing out there. So, and I have to say I've been a little fascinated with her. I'm doing a webinar on her on Sunday. I presented it out west, and we're modifying it a bit because her conjunction's this week. So if people want to sign up for the webinar, it's available on my website. We'll be sending a newsletter out later today about it. And that's the excitement, you know. So as she builds, we'll feel her intensity.
So, I mean, getting back to what to do.
Yeah, back to what to do.
If you live in New York City,
mm-hmm.
I mean, I and a whole bunch of other kind of healery people
mm-hmm.
aren't going out much.
Right. Mm-hmm. Me too.
Like, definitely not going out much. It's not the time to, from my perspective, where I'm going to go out and be in the middle of a crowd of people. And come back feeling like energized. It's going to be the opposite.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So I'm quite alert when I have to leave the apartment
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
To whether I'm losing energy, because right now I don't feel like I have it to lose.
Mm-hmm.
I'm paying an awful lot of attention to, there are a lot of people who are coming to visit at this point here.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm really paying attention to, there's a whole bunch of people who come mm-hmm. and leave with some of our energy.
Right.
There's a much smaller group of people
who come and,
bring energy.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm being really boundaried around the people who leave with it.
Right. Do you need more spray?
No, I think I still have. I used some this morning.
Okay.
I'm certainly saging. Which, you know, those are not things that I normally do, but
yeah,
definitely.
But it's real important with that kind of energy.
Yeah. So, you know, and I'm just watching things like this morning where I just sat down and a chair broke, and I don't. We need the chair. So last week I tripped and was, I mean, I'm so lucky that, because, but my hand went through this mirrored top thing, and I did not sever my arm, but the table just like bent and went down. So that was gone, and I had to replace it. So I've just, and it's all in the same room, and nothing ever happens. But it's just, things are just kind of
breaking apart.
Breaking apart.
Mm-hmm.
And I just kind of watch it. I keep being reminded. I'm going to see if I can. I'm not so great at this. I don't have my computer, but I'm looking for a book. It's by Doris Lessing. It's an old book that keeps coming up. Let me see. I didn't know that. Huh, I didn't know it was a movie. It was a movie with Julie Christie and Nigel Hawthorne in 1981.
Mm-hmm.
But it's, the story takes place in a near future Britain. This is from the early 70s, I guess. Let's see. 1974. The story takes place in a near-future Britain where society is broken down due to an unspecified disaster referred to as the crisis. The new society that emerges after the collapse retains many features of the old world, but is fundamentally different. What serves as a government in the post-crisis nation is unable to consolidate its authority and exercise little control over the populace. Newscasts can be heard and law and order is upheld by vigilantes and a handful of policemen. Education exists for those who pass as the wealthier survivors, while schools for the poor act as an apparatus of the army and are designed to control the population. Limited commercial activity continues, but scavenging is required to obtain rare goods. By the end of the novel, the situation in the society is starting to deteriorate as the edifice of the past society crumbles. The narrator discusses people moving out of the city and empty shelves indicate a food shortage. And the narrator is a middle-aged woman who lives a quiet life in a flat, unexpectedly ends up with custody of a teenage girl. So it's I read it when it came out, and it had a huge effect on me.
Mm-hmm.
And I keep thinking about it. It's definitely, I mean, if you're familiar with Doris Lessing, it's kind of a little Margaret Atwood-y, you know, in that it's kind of parables in a way. But it's definitely worth picking it up and giving it a read.
What was the name of it?
Memoirs of a Survivor.
Know what?
Memoirs?
Memoirs of a Survivor.
Of a Survivor.
Okay, cool. Yeah. So it's living in a flat with a teenage girl.
The Memoirs of a Survivor.
Okay.
Well, it's just there's what's happening inside and what's happening outside.
Right.
And it seems to align well with this energy.
Yeah. The inside and the outside, yeah. At different points.
No, at the same time.
Yeah, but it, you know, they're, you're looking, you know, you're in the, you're at the space. Yeah.
Yeah.
So the British lady said we're done. Any words of wisdom for us before we leave?
No, just kind of don't think that something's wrong if this kind of bizarreness permeates your existence. You know, it's it is bizarre,
right?
And the more that people are trying to force things into, I had a client who was really trying to force things and had, got offered a job, and then suddenly the offer was revoked.
Really?
Whereas it's possible that had they not tried to push, it all would have just unfolded in a more gentle way. I mean, you know, of course, the reasoning was that, as given, was something about funding. But they've offered, you know. So you just aren't going to necessarily know what's going on.
Right.
But try to learn from, you know, what works mm-hmm. and what doesn't, and stay away from getting into stupid arguments about trying to make things work if they're not going to.
Right.
I mean, I had a nursing person here yesterday who just way over medicated
Jean.
And so I just realized I just smile from now on and don't follow her instructions.
Oh, okay.
Rather than getting into it. Like, she's doing the best she can.
Right.
So I didn't get mad at her. I just noticed that she's a snappy dresser.